not take the time for God's word. Because the reality is when God's word is preached, it is meant to be heard. And while we're gathered today, let us do just that. And we'll continue on in our week number 3 of Armor of God, which has been our New Year's sermon series, an opportunity for us to enjoy his word, but also be able to hear his word. And today I have an opportunity to preach from Ephesians 6:15. Ephesians 6:15, and today we'll be talking about one piece of the armor of God. As we continue on in our series today, here's what we got. So have you ever tried to share the gospel with somebody? Share the gospel, and then at the end of it, feel just a little more confused yourself than when you started. Well, imagine the person on the other end receiving your words of encouragement, preaching the gospel, to only be confused themselves. See, that's the idea of what happens. Because we asked our question to ourselves of, what did I actually say? See, the gospel is a real thing. It's an opportunity for us to share who the one who's called us, the one who's driven us to our knees, who drives us to ask for forgiveness of sins and then be baptized. See, that is the gospel. Simply put, very much. See, when you look at this, sadly, I would say that a lot of us in this room even have either had moments like that, where the person that we were telling the gospel to walked away more confused, or walked away more confused yourself. It's kind of sad, isn't it? Because the reality is that's what we come to do, right? We come to be prepared, to grow, to be encouraged, to know what it means. And this mic is not working for me. No fault to our audio technician. It really is my mic. I don't know what's going on. But here we go. You just wanted to see a gun show today. That's what I'm talking about. So I got my gun show for you out, got my mic hand out, and we're ready to preach the word. That's what we really needed, wasn't it? So we look at that sad moment of sharing the gospel, of the reality of what we fail to do sometimes, and how simple it is that Jesus is Lord. He died on the cross, rose again 3 days later, and offers us forgiveness of our sins so we have eternal life in heaven. Woo! Amen is right. See, that's the reality of what the gospel is, but sometimes we get so tongue-twisted. We let our gospel presentation become something about us when it's about him. See, the gospel presentation is this simple. It is about him who has changed my life. Not me, I've changed my life and then I came to him. See, the gospel presentation is he who saved me. Yes. Is why I can stand here today. See, the gospel presentation becomes simple like that, right? Very simple. So let's think about a few things. Instead of us sharing the gospel with the center focus of us, let us always share the gospel with the center focus of who he is and what he brings to the table, not about us whatsoever. Because it's not that difficult, is it? It's not that dramatic, except when you think about the cross, when you think about the empty tomb, and when you think about the singing glory to God when we're in heaven. See, those are dramatic effects, but only part of what it means. See, now I gave that really punchy performance there for a moment just to set you up, to get you ready, to hear what it means to lace up your sandals and the gospel of peace. See, a key word there is preparation. See, that's why we get so tongue-twisted sometimes. That's why we get so twisted up in what it means to present the gospel to others. We get so tongue-twisted because we have not prepared ourselves. See, some of us haven't even thought about what it means to come to Jesus Christ since the moment we gave our life to him. Because we give our life to him and then we say, good thing I got my fire insurance. I think we're prepared now. No, it's a lifelong preparation. It's the time and opportunity for us to learn and grow together in His Word and understand what it means to be prepared to share the gospel of peace with others. See, Ephesians 6:14 says this. I'm sorry, 6:14 is our breastplate and our belt of truth from last week. And 6:15 going into that says this. And your feet sandaled with the readiness of the gospel of peace. And your feet sandaled with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Now, when you look at what Paul's emphasis was, looking at a Roman soldier and understanding the importance of his armor, which is what he was looking at the time, and inspired by God, said these sandals have to be in the message, have to be what you ready yourself with. And we're going to find out why in just a moment. So let us first look at the sermon time. You must have the right shoes. Now, I'm looking at some of your faces, and I've seen you in here, ladies, and some men, who come in here on Sunday morning. Every Sunday have a different pair of shoes. I notice those kind of things. See, you have shoes for every time. If you're going to the mall walking, you got your own shoes. You know, you got to walk fast. You got to get those deals. If you're going to go to the gym, you're going to go down to Planet Fitness and get buff, like the pastor. You got a different pair of shoes on. If you're going to go to the beach, who needs shoes? We're going to the beach. See, different shoes for different occasions all the time. See, that's how we prepare for the day, right? We prepare for our shoes, make sure our footwear is good. But now, if you take into account what I just said there, I gave a different shoe for every account. Because you're readying for something, right? What about readying for the armor of God? What about putting on the sandals for the gospel of peace, the readiness of the gospel? See, think about it. Every conceivable activity you have shoes for. You have shoes readying the way, preparing for the day, getting ready time and time again for what's ahead of you. But how many times do we think about our armor of God and putting on the sandals that He's given us for the spiritual battle we're about to go into when we walk into the world? See, that is a battle that sometimes we don't prepare for. That is a battle that sometimes we don't even think of. That is a battle that we don't think about our shoes and how they're going to act when spiritual warfare rains down on us and we have some Debbie Downer out there shouting you down in everything you do. We have someone in the corners of every crevice telling you how stupid you are, worthless you are, all because they are worth nothing. You see, that's the reality. But if you ready yourself, prepare yourself, get ready with a gospel peace of God who loves you, cares for you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die on a cross for you. See, now that's a readiness that we can get behind. That's a readiness that prepares our heart and our soul for battle. That's a readiness that prepares what it means to be attacked by spiritual warfare. You see, that is something for us to understand. Let's think about a soldier's shoes. Think about the image that Paul was looking at that time. A soldier is wearing a pair of sandals. Now, typically, they're a leather sandal, nice leather hard bottom, and straps that go up your ankles and into your calves. So it's nice and firm and ready. Now, it looks like a nice sandal that some of you ladies are like, wow, I wish I had some of those. I wish we had the weather to wear them, right? Show those pearly toes. But what about a warrior? Think about that leather bottom. Think about how slick it is in the morning dew. Think about it on a battlefield that is bloodied by war. If you just had a slick bottom on it. No, see, a warrior's shoes prepared for the battle. And the bottom of their sandals, they drove spikes or metal or something sharp in order to give them the grip they need in the dew of the morning when the battle would happen or in the bloody stained fields when they were on battle. You see, that is an image that says, I'm ready for war. Do you imagine that when you put on your sandals from the armor of God? Do you imagine what it means to go to war against the spiritual warfare and the people in this world who are out to cut you down? Now, if you aren't, you need to be. You need to process that thought. Process what it means to put on the full armor of God, not just your version. Not just a version of what it means to at least I have them on. I didn't lace them up today, but at least I got shoes on. No, preparing for battle is something far greater and far more imaginable than just putting on any old pair of shoes. The sandals for the soldier was meant truly to represent standing firm in that battle. Being ready for when they're called out and when that display of warfare happens, that they can have the opportunity to wear those and be ready all the time. See, that is something for us to imagine. That is something for us to think through and process every time we put on the armor of God. Let the sandals of the soldier be what's in your mental mind as you prepare for the day, as you prepare for the week, as you prepare for the month, as you prepare for your life in Christ. Picture those sandals. Because the day that you picture on the other sandals, that the slick bottoms, because they look really good, you're not going to be ready for war. And I tell you, it's going to be on that day that Satan finds the opportunity to push you back, push you down, push you out. See, in those moments, see, that's where our life battle is. When we get sloppy, when we don't prepare, when we don't get ready for what's ahead of us. See, we get lazy. But let's not just talk about the soldier's footwear. Let's talk about the Christian's footwear, the gospel, the good news of peace, right? See, Christian's footwear is equally important. That's how we can imagine it. And the Christian footwear is so much more than just being ready for the war. See, the devil's schemes are out there at every corner and every moment, waiting for you to not take charge of the day, waiting for you not to be prepared, waiting for you to forget what you're fighting for, waiting for you to forget who called you. See, in those moments of laziness, those moments of weakness, he grabs us and moves us around and pushes around the battlefield in and out with no way to stand our ground. See, the Christian is careful. When we cinch up that belt, you know, remember, we got to cinch that belt nice and tight. Make sure our clothing isn't out there at all. We put on that breastplate. We make sure it's securely fastened to our belts. See, that's getting ready, preparing, thinking through it, item after item, putting on and putting on. See, Paul wasn't just looking at a soldier and saying, wow, he looks really cool. That'll preach. He was thinking, man, what an image that God has for us through this armor. See, he's also a scholar. So he knew the Old Testament really well. So when he thought about each piece of his armor, he also knew that throughout the Old Testament, those words have already been shared. Think about this from Isaiah 52:7. Isaiah 52:7 says this, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the herald. Who proclaims peace? Who brings news of good things? Who proclaims salvation? Who says to Zion, your God reigns?" What a message that I'm sure Paul in his heart, when he was processing the armor of God and what it meant for us to have understanding. But did you catch it? Did you catch the subtlety there? Let's make sure we understood it. I did not say, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him who has good news, or who knows good news. No, I said, brings the good news. See, as the when you sandal up and you get ready and get prepared and you're ready for battle, see, you're bringing and taking the good news to someone. It's not just ready now in case it happens. Like, you're going out, you're reaching the crevices of this world, and you're being prepared. Prepared to preach the gospel to all who are willing to hear. Now, you're going to hear me say this later, but I think it's appropriate this time. See, when you think about the feet, they are not something that sits stationary, propped up. Your feet are to move you forward in life. And that is where the gospel is to be preached. Forward, out in your communities, out in your world, out in your homes. Because the gospel moves that way. And that is why the feet are surrounded by this sandal that is the gospel of peace. And you are to prepare the way for what that means. See, putting on the sandals is not something, hey, I'm going to leisure around the house and look good as I strut. But no, it's to when you leave your house, you go into the world, you leave the safety of your home where others are, and maybe others who don't believe the same way you believe. And you fight those spiritual battles that are coming upon you, time in and time out. The gossipers, the slanders, those are the people that are out to get you and that are using Satan's words that he whispers in their ear to try to turn you, a believer in Jesus Christ, away from his true word. And that is why we be prepared. Be prepared. Because here's the news. It is about the peace. See, Christ, he wants us to be in peace. He wants us to have peace. But he wants others to have peace as well. And sharing the gospel is that truth. That truth of what it means to be in the Word, of the world. See, that is the gospel. The truth of what he has for you. See, Christ demands readiness. He's not someone who's just saying, hey, you know, if you feel like it today, guys, it'd be nice if you shared the gospel, brought more people into my kingdom. He doesn't say that as a, hey, you know, if you feel like it today. He says, be ready. It is a command. It is not a suggestion. Be ready to share the gospel. Be ready to be prepared for war, for what it means to have that gospel laden on your heart. And prepared and ready to go. See, that is the good news. And that is what is offered by Jesus Christ. And that is what is offered by the kingdom of heaven. See, to an unsaved person, it's helpless, ungodly, sinful, and an enemy of God. See, the reference there is Romans 5, 6 through 9, and it says this. For while we were still helpless, at the appointed moment, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person. Though for a good person, perhaps, someone might even dare to die. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than since we have now been declared righteous by his blood. He will be saved through him from wrath. See, but now to the saved person, we are reconciled by God and reconciled to God through faith in his Son. And if you continue on in Romans there, 5, 10 through 11, you hear this. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, then how much more have been reconciled while we be saved by his life? And not only that, but we also rejoice to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have now received the reconciliation through him. See, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you have already been reconciled. He calls you to preparation because it's your duty as a believer. It's your duty to share what it means to deliver the gospel to all the nations, to all the world, to all those who are willing to hear. It doesn't say anything about race, color, size, male, female. None of that matters. You are reconciled. So go out and preach the gospel. But be prepared. Don't go out there just spouting words. Don't steal little phrases from my sermon and say, yep, that's the gospel, I'm going to preach it. No, know it. Prepare your heart with it. Because it really is that simple to be prepared. He was born of a virgin, died on a cross, empty tomb 3 days later, and he is the only way to salvation. He's the only bridge that can cross that chasm of death into what it means to be in eternal life with our Father who art in heaven. You see, that peace is important. But when you go out every day and you think about the battle, do you have peace? Are you ready? Is the gospel securely in your heart? Or is your answer, I'm going to take you to meet my pastor? See, the reality is we are prepared. Be ready. Be ready to share the gospel. Have our feet moving forward to get ready. Now I want to do a little case study today of Gideon. I'm going to share just a few moments of his story. It's a really awesome story, but we don't have time to get into it today. But when you think about Gideon, I'm talking about a very specific story. When the Israelites were facing the Midianites, not just the Midianites, but think about this phrase. No fear needed, but rather have peace. Now think about that. No fear needed, but rather have peace. Now let's talk about the Gideon story. See, the gospel of peace is a marvelous story. It's an opportunity for us to understand and grow in his word. And Christ is the one who we grow in. And he calls us to it. See, when our feet are covered with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we stand in confidence of God's love for us, his union with us, and his commitment to fight for us. See, that's what it means to have the gospel of peace. That's what it means to be tied into it. That's what it means to be ready, to have all those facts in our hearts. See, as the children of Israel were facing the Midianite army, who was 32,000 strong against Israelite, crowding in on them. See, when you look at Gideon, he was called to raise up an army of Israelites to go out and get them. And he did. He raised up some, I guess. And he thought he had a decent army that could defeat them. And then God said, nope. Too many. There's 32,000 soldiers coming out at us. See, in Judges 7:2 is where you find this. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many people for me to hand the Midianites over to you, or else Israel might brag, I did it myself. So you know the story. If you don't know the story, I recommend you going to judges and having a good read. But he dwindled his army down all the way to a shallow 300 against 32,000 warriors. And when God gave the call, all they did is let the trumpets blare. The trumpets blare from those 300 men and the 32,000 soldiers ready for battle ran in fear. See, that's the power. That's the mighty God I serve. That is the mighty God we serve. And what can happen with a little if we just prepare. See, God prepared Gideon for the battle and gave him exactly what he needed. Not only in preparation, but in size and in strength. Stand strong in the good news of the peace. The believer who stands in the Lord's power need not fear any enemy, not even Satan himself. Because the reality is God's got this. We go by his strength, with his armor, in his way, because he is the one who guides and directs us to it. If you look back at Ephesians 6:10, it says this, "Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength." See, his vast strength is what we go by. I kind of feel like that's the children's ministry taunting me to wrap up my sermon. I feel like we should be loud in here for a moment. Squirrel. All right, here we go. Back on track there, those kids. So when you look at Romans and you think about the message of hope in that, you think about the message of strength in his word. Think about Romans chapter 8, verse 31. "What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" See, no one can stand against us. Not a one, if we go in his strength and his way with his strength. See, that's the reality that we live in. That spirit-filled believer is the one who understands that strength, understands that power, and understands the goal is to be in him. So if you boil this all down and you want something a little simpler to digest than just putting on the armor of God, you must also understand that 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "But honor the Messiah as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." For anyone who asks for the reason that you have hope. Do you have hope? Why? That question might stump you, but be prepared for what the why really is. See, there's some things you can do that maybe aren't so much in people's face, you know, because you don't feel like sharing the gospel. "Hey, Pastor Teddy, I took that event, that, you know, spiritual gifts assessment, and, you know, I don't have the gift of evangelism." That might be what you say. Well, you could leave a Bible verse in your workplace somewhere. Write a little post-it note. Maybe on the microwave or on the coffee pot. What about putting that inspirational calendar up at your workplace? Verse a day. Process it. Let people just see who it is. Tell someone that you'll pray for them when they're having a tough day and they confide in you all the difficult things that's going on. See, those are things you can do to prepare the way for sharing the gospel. See, be prepared and get ready for what it means. Because I'm telling you, if you infiltrate an environment at workplace or whatever, and with those simple little changes you might make in your life, see, people are going to start seeing you differently. They may even say, "Hey, here comes Teddy. He's a believer. Let's watch our language. And if they do, they're halfway there. Because there's something different about you. You see, that is the time when someone's going to ask you about the hope in you. Because you're different. Not different, strange. You're different because you have the hope of Christ that resides in your heart and your body and your soul. See, that is a time. That is something that changes the world. So we wrap up the sermon. I want to do a few questions first. Why is the gospel of peace so important? I'm going to let you answer that. Who will win the victory? You should have an answer for that. Why did Paul pick the shoes to represent the readiness? Because the gospel is to be shared. Your feet move you forward. There's no ship in the water or boat that will go forward. Right? You can't turn it without it going forward first. The gospel isn't going to preach itself. The gospel in itself is the word. But God is asking us to share it. Are you going to put your feet one in front of the other and share it? God calls us to be ready. Are you ready? Let me close out the sermon time in prayer. We have one last moment for our service. Father, thank you for all that you've done. Father, you are a great God. Thank you for your message of the gospel of peace and what it means to be ready. Father, may we lift up and call your name. May we cry out and ask you to send us. And Father, when we say, we ask you to send us, we're not asking and telling you where. We are just committing to wherever you send us, we will preach your word. Father, may you get all the glory and honor from our time together, from our walk in you, and from what it means to go out in the community. Say this in Jesus' name. Amen.